Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. And today we are very, very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji with us to enlighten on the topic of Antya Leela 6.221 onwards. Hare Krishna, Kirtida Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining this session and giving your very valuable time and association to all the assembled devotees on the call, Mataji. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for your wonderful chanting and your warm welcoming. I'm really grateful to all of you for joining this mid-morning session, for sharing all of your valuable time. So thank you all so much for all of your association. Now we'll start. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela and chapter number 6 entitled Lord Chaitanya meets Raghunath Das Goswami, and today we'll start with text number 221. प्रभु रे गोविंदा कहे रघुनाथ प्रसाद न लया रात्रि सिंह द्वारे खड़ा हाना मागी खाया. Govinda said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das no longer takes prasadam here. Now he stands at the Simha Dwara where he begs some alms to eat. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिचारुस्वामीनिति नामिने. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. गुरुवे गौर चंद्राय राधिकाय तदालय कृष्णाय कृष्ण भक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः. मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरं यत्कृपा तं हम वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिं. हरे कृष्णा डियर डिवोटीज, सो होप यू ऑल आर एबल टू सी द स्क्रीन बिकॉज वील बी शोइंग सम वर्सेस दैट वील बी कवरिंग टुडे. सो बिफोर आई स्टार्ट आई वुड अगेन सीक heartfelt prayers, wishes and blessings from each and every one of you so that I can speak something relevant in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in glorification of Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in purification of my own self. Vancha kalpatarubhascha kripa sindhu vaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Anantakoti vaishnavrindu ki jai. So today's verses are definitely not for me. So I tried a lot to call some senior devotee on this call today. But unfortunately, everything came on me. And so I took it up as a service. But definitely today's verses are of highly esoteric matter because today's verses are, you know, the direct instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Raghunath Das Goswami, and what he wants from those who have accepted the renounced order of life, those who are have accepted the brahmachari or the sannyasa life. So what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants them to do, and he wants to give his final instructions to them. But today in this call, we all are grihasthas. And let's see to it, like, you know, these instructions are definitely for those who have accepted renounced order of life. But let's see how we grihasthas can also imbibe, you know, these verses in our day-to-day life. So before I start, I would like to give a disclaimer that, you know, today's class will be instructive on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll try to make it descriptive as far as I can, but since these are the instructions, so it will be kind of an instructive class, because these instructions are coming from the Supreme Lord himself. And but a disclaimer is that I myself, you know, is not 100% following. So don't think that if this class is instructive, so these instructions are coming from me. Definitely not. These instructions are from the Supreme Lord, from our dear Srila Prabhupada, from our Guru Vargas, what they expect us. So let's at least get some kind of inspiration from these, you know, instructions, and try to imbibe in our future life if we have not imbibed yet. And if we have imbibed already these instructions, then let's make it more determined and more firm. Having said that, let's move to our class. I think so. Sukhsagari Mataji is telling something. Okay, 1 minute. Okay, I think so. It's not for me. I thought it is. Okay, sorry about that. So, 221. Govinda said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das no longer takes prasadam here. Now he stands at the Simhadwara where he begs some alms to eat. So, sorry about that. So are you able to see the screen, right?
Yes, Mataji, we can see.
Okay. So in this, thank you, Indamataji. So in this, you know, as I told that now Raghunath Das Goswami has left his, grihastha life. He has come to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And so now what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants from all his brahmacharis or sannyasis or those who are started following the renounced order of life, you know, what he wants is to follow the ashram. Follow the ashram in whatever you are in, whether you are in a brahmachari life, you are in a grihastha life, you are in renounced order, you are in a vanaprastha life, in whichever ashram you are in. What Mahaprabhu is saying that you have to follow your ashram. We should not think that, you know, here Mahaprabhu is guiding us that everyone should become a brahmachari or everyone should renounce, you know, their grihastha life and follow this sannyasa or follow this renounced order of life. Definitely not. The pramana for this is that we know that Mahaprabhu's dearmost devotee, Shivananda Sen, how he also was a grihastha. Right, even Nityananda Prabhu was grihastha, even Advaita Charya was grihastha. So they were in the grihastha life. You know, it's not that Mahaprabhu didn't like them. So the point is that in whichever ashram we are in, we should try to follow the rules and regulations of that ashram. Like I was giving the example of Shivananda Sen, that how Shivananda Sen brought his youngest son Paramananda Puri to also to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Mahaprabhu himself named him. And he was very happy that Shivananda Sen, you know, he has children. And we know that how Paramananda Puri was, he got blessings of Mahaprabhu when he was sucking the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the toe, the thumb. And how later he became as Kavi Karnapura, the greatest poet. So whether one is in a grihastha or one is in the brahmacharya life, you know, what Mahaprabhu wants is that we should not be hypocrite. No, we should not be hypocrite. Then he will be very pleased. But if we are hypocrite and we are not following an ashram, then definitely Mahaprabhu is very unpleased. Next example is of Chota Haridas. How Mahaprabhu condemned Chota Haridas because of the, you know, the offense that was committed by him. So because Mahaprabhu is very, very strict and he wants all his disciples to be very, very strict. So we should try to follow our ashram. And especially now, since Raghunath Das Goswami has left his household life, so all these instructions today are for Raghunath Das Goswami. So indirectly, he'll be giving all those instructions to all those who have accepted this renounced order of life. So those who are in the renounced order of life, and those who have accepted that saffron cloth, one should understand that saffron cloth is not just a color. You know, it's not just a color that one can accept. It has quite a lot of responsibilities and liabilities that come with that cloth, with the color of that saffron. It's a flag that represents our whole society. It's not just a color. So what are the prime duties of a person who is in this renounced order of life? So we know the pastime of Raghunath Das Goswami, and extensively we have been reading by the mercy of very, very great speakers, and of course by the mercy of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who took up this opportunity to glorify Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, while he was in a householder life, and he has a very beautiful wife, very, very beautiful wife, and very chaste, and he has a lot of opulence. So he could have justified in so many ways, you know, that let me stay in this household life, let me chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And, you know, he could have become a very pure devotee even if he would have been in that life. But what he wanted was altogether different. He wants that exclusive devotion onto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Remember in the pastime of Chiradahi festival, when he bowed down the next day on after having that prasadam at Raghav Pandit's home. At that time, also, you know, when he bowed down and touched the lotus feet and seek blessings from the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, what he basically asked? He asked that, "Oh my Lord, I know that no one can approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your blessing. So here, you know, I want to take exclusive shelter onto your lotus feet of you so that you can bless me so that I can take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So that is what, you know, he want the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu. So Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, he wants exclusive devotion towards the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was, though he was in that grahastha ashram, you know, but he was very determined. He was very resolute in his purpose, and he had only one aim of life. And that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and of course Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this chapter, they are highlighting that this determination is the basic principle of renunciation. Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, he every day he used to go out. He used to run away from the home, and then he was dragged back by his parents. Then he used to run away, and then he was dragged back by his parents, by the guards. So every day, this became a daily affair for Raghunath Das Goswami. So he would have really justified, you know, if we were in the position of Raghunath Das Goswami, then after so many attempts, we would have concluded, "Oh, Krishna doesn't want me to take this renounced order of life. Let me stay in this grahastha ashram, chant Hare Krishna, take care of my business, my family, and that's it." That's an indication, because he went out, he ran away, he was dragged in. He ran away, he was again dragged in. So after so many attempts of, you know, failures, he would have concluded and he would have justified, right? But that was not the case with Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was very resolute, very determined in his single aim, in his purpose, that, you know, my aim is, my only resolute determination is that I want to seek exclusive devotion, exclusive shelter onto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, because of his determination, he could make an escape, and his escape was finally successful. And we know that it took him 12 days to reach Puri, and he just ate for 3 days out of those 12 days. But finally, he made his, you know, destination to Jagannath Puri. Because of that one-pointed, resolute determination onto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the basic principle of renunciation, to be determined in whatever we do or whatever we aspire for, which is definitely conducive to our Krishna consciousness. And how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted him and handed him over to Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami was instructed to take bath in sea and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And finally, you know, he was also instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Govinda, his personal servant, will come and will give him prasadam. So in that way, Raghunath Das Goswami was very fortunate to get the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he accepted those remnants from, you know, till 5 days. And from sixth day, he started begging at the Simhadwara. So this is the Simhadwara of that Jagannath Puri in the Jagannath temple, one of the Dwara. And many servants of Lord Jagannath, you know, when they return home at night after finishing all their duties, then, you know, if they see any Vaishnava sitting at the Simhadwara begging alms, they would mercifully arrange, you know, with the shopkeepers nearby to give something to eat. So that's the place where Vaishnavas, you know, they accept some kind of mercy that comes from the Vaishnavas of that Jagannath Puri Dham. So there, Raghunath Das Goswami, also, you know, this verse itself says, because next day, after instructing Govinda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked that how is going with Raghunath Das Goswami. So are you giving him, you know, daily some prasadam from Jagannath Puri? Then Govinda said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Raghunatha prasada na laya ratre simha dware khada hana magi kaya. That, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami no longer takes prasadam here. Now he stands at the simha dwara where he begs some alms to eat. We'll move on to the next verse. Suni tushtahana prabhu kahi tela giya bhala khaila vera gera dharma acharila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he was greatly satisfied. Raghunath Das has done well. He said he has acted suitably for a person in the renounced order of life. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to know that Raghunath Das Goswami has rejected accept that prasadam, rather he accepted to go himself and stand at Simhadwara and beg some food, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard this, he was very, very happy. He was greatly satisfied, because this is, you know, the act for anyone who have accepted the renounced order of life. They should not be dependent on others. They should be dependent only on to Krishna. So Mahaprabhu was very, very happy. But lately we see that even this position was also not accepted by Raghunath Das Goswami. But that's altogether a different topic I don't want to reveal right now. So right now, let's stick to this, that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very happy that Raghunath Das Goswami himself is going and he has accepted this renounced order, and he himself is begging, you know, the food from the devotees there. So here Mahaprabhu will be giving few instructions, but we'll just go through those instructions and later we'll see in detail about what all this is. Text 2-3. Vairagi karibe sada nama sankirtana magiya khana kare jivana rakshana. A person who is in the renounced order should always chant the holy name of the Lord. He should beg some alms to eat and he should sustain his life in this way. So that's what, you know, Mahaprabhu is telling that a person who has accepted the renounced order of life should always focus on chanting the holy name of the Lord, and he should beg some alms to eat, and he should always sustain his life in this way. So in this regard, I just, you know, something that came up to my mind, that we know that there are, you know, the sannyas, the renounced order of life is what is sannyas. So in sannyas also, in Bhagavatam and various places, they have mentioned that there are four types of levels of sannyas. One is the Khutichak, one is the Bahuchak, then is Parivakacharya, and then fourth is the Paramhamsa level. So in Khutichak, what it is that, you know, the person who has accepted the renounced order of life, he move out of the village, but still he is connected to that village. Okay. Some people from the village, they go to the outskirts and they give him some prasadam and he accepts. So whatever comes in and he accepts, but at that time he's just focused on chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is the first level. Next comes the Bahudak level. Bahudak level is that type of sannyasis when they move out not only from the village, but they move out from, you know, the vicinity of that whole, you know, the few villages that are combined together. So he moves out from that community and he himself doesn't expect anyone to come to his place and give him some alms. Rather, he goes himself and asks for some alms to the nearby places, and whatever he gets, he becomes happy to it. And also he's chanting the holy name of the Lord. Parivajakacharya are the those type of sannyasis who accepts whatever comes in, no doubt about it, but they also move out, they also go out, they go door to door for preaching. So like we see the example of our dear Srila Prabhupada, who is the Parivajakacharya, because he moved out from India to Western places because he wants to preach this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, he was also focused in his own sadhana, and whatever comes, food, he accepted that. Now he came to that Western world. We know the history that how he himself used to cook because, you know, there was so much abominable things which he has to reject because he was in the sannyas order of life. So he used to cook himself. So whatever is there, he accepts it. But at the same time, he goes to various places just for the preaching purposes. And next comes the Paramhamsa level, where, you know, definitely all our Guru Vargas and of course dear Srila Prabhupada, they are on the Paramhamsa level. But just for the preaching purpose, they come down to one level as Parivajakacharya, because the mission, the demand of the time was to preach. So that Paramhamsa level is that level where a person stays at one place, doesn't move out, and accept whatever comes in. And if nothing comes in, then he fasts for whole day. Like we see the example of Madhavendra Puri. When he was in Vrindavan, he just stayed at one place near Govindakund, and he used to meditate and he used to just focus on his nama, right? But one day the boy came and offered him some milk, and then Madhavendra Puri asked him, how do you know that I have been fasting? And then he said, oh, some local village girls, they told me that there is one person and he's been fasting. They only told me to give you one cup of milk, so here I am. You can keep this one, you know, this lota, this pot which is full of milk, accept it, and later I'll come to accept this pot back. So we know the pastime, but point is that how Madhavendra Puri was just fixed at one place, and whatever comes, just like a python, whatever comes they accept, if nothing comes they fast. So now here I'm not saying that our Guru Vargas or Srila Prabhupada, they are not on Paramhamsa level, but as I've already said, they are on Paramhamsa level, but they came down to one level, to Parivajakacharya, because they have to move to place, because that was the demand of that time, that we need to preach, that preaching movement should go on. So to fulfill the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada took up this position and he moved all over the whole universe, and he preached this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So coming on to this verse where Mahaprabhu says that, yes, a person who is in the renounced order of life should always chant the holy name of the Lord. He should beg some alms to eat and he should always sustain his life in this way. Next verse, 224. Vairagi hana ye bakare parapeksha karya siddhi nahe krishna kare na opeksha. This is the point where he says that a vairagi or a person who is in the renounced order should not depend on others. If he does so, he will be unsuccessful and he will be neglected by Krishna. So these verses, actually, Mahaprabhu is telling Govinda, because Govinda gave this message that now Raghunath Das Goswami is not accepting any prasadam, rather he is standing at Simha Dwara and he is begging for some alms. So in praise of, you know, a person who is a vairagi, who is in renounced order of life, Mahaprabhu is now saying all this to Govinda, to his servant. And he is saying that, yes, a person should not depend on others. Raghunath Das Goswami, being a vairagi, should not depend upon you that you will come and give prasadam every day and he'll very relaxed, you know, he will honor that prasadam. No, if he does so, he will become unsuccessful and he will be neglected by Krishna. So the point is that a person who is in the renounced order of life should not depend on others. And should not depend that, you know, should not aspire that, yes, somebody will come and, you know, there is a routine basis that, okay, this person will come, will give prasadam, I have to honor. No, they are basically totally dependent on Krishna, whether something comes or whether something doesn't come. If it comes, they'll honor. If it doesn't, they'll fast. So that's the point. Vairagi hana kare jivara lala sa paramartha yaya arahaya rasera vasa. If a renunciant is eager for his tongue to taste different foods, his spiritual life will be lost and he will be subservient to the taste of his tongue. So this is very, very important that a renunciant should always, you know, give up this tendency of tasting, you know, some different kind of food. Because through tongue is the very important limb in the service of Sri Krishna. Let's read the next verse and then together we'll discuss. Vairagya kritya sada nama sankirtana shaka patra phala mule udara bharana. The duty of a person in the renounced order of life is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra always, and he should satisfy his bellies with whatever vegetables, leaves, fruits and roots are available. So this is the main two functions of tongue. As we all know, it's a very famous verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where Rupa Goswami writes, Atha Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Granam Indriya Sevan Mukha Hi Jivva Ado Swayam Eva Spurati Ada. What is this? That the first service, Sevan Mukha Hi Jivva Ado. Ado means first. So the first service that is performed is by our tongue. And there are two purposes of this tongue. One tongue is to speak and the next is to honor some food, right? To have something, that is the use of tongue, to taste, right? Now, these two things are to be aligned to Krishna consciousness. Yes, these two services of tongue cannot be denied. But these two services of this tongue can be used in Krishna's services. So first is tasting. Tasting means tasting Krishna prasadam. This tongue should be used in tasting Krishna prasadam, should not be used to taste for any other thing which is for our own sense gratification. That should be avoided. So that is why here Mahaprabhu is saying that if a renunciant is eager for his tongue to taste different foods, that should be avoided because his spiritual life will be lost. So in our case, being in a grahastha ashram also, we should take this point into consideration that we should use our tongue in Krishna's service only, in accepting Krishna prasadam only. Otherwise, if we just go out in the restaurants or some street food, if we go out and eat and honor, no. That will not help. That will literally doom our spiritual life. Why? Because these grains, they carry consciousness. So in whatever, that's why it is said, you know, you are what you eat. Right? Why do they say that you are what you eat? Even for the Matajis or even Prabhus, those who are cooking, it has been instructed that you should cook in a good mood, not in an angry mood. Because whatever mood or whatever consciousness we are cooking, that will be passed on to a person who is honoring that food. So we should cook in the good mood. Now, in the restaurants, we don't know who is cooking, how clean they are, in what consciousness they are cooking, what is their mood while they are cooking. And if we are simply honoring, what can we expect from our spiritual life? So for our spiritual life, we should only focus on eating Krishna prasadam. We can make ourselves very lovingly, offer it to our respective deities and, you know, pray to them to accept it. And finally, accept the remnants that come from their plate. And you know, that will be a divine food. That will be a prasadam, which can really bring amazing transformation in the hearts of those who are honoring those prasadam. So it is very, very important as a grahastha, not only as a renunciate where Mahaprabhu is mentioning, but even as a grahastha, we should make this point that we should not eat anything which is not offered to the Supreme Lord. You know, 99%, we should do it for 100%, but 99% make it a point that if we do, that we should not eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. Make it a point that offer first to Krishna and then honor it. That will really help to raise our consciousness in towards Krishna. It's very, very important. Now, the second principle is to say something, you know, to speak. So second function of that tongue is to speak. So the duty of a person in the renounced order is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra always. He should always satisfy his belly with whatever vegetables, leaves, fruits and roots are available. So the next thing is to speak. So while speaking also, we should think, you know, that we should not speak any mundane topic. We'll dive deep into detail because the next verse is all related to it. But right now, you know, this is the second principle or this is a service of our tongue is to speak. So we should always try to chant the holy name. We should always glorify Krishna, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. We should always speak about Lord Shri Krishna. In that way, what Rupa Goswami is saying, Sevan Mukhahi Jevado Swayam Eva Spuratiyada. Because when we perform these two things, these two seva in Krishna conscious way by our tongue, then definitely all the qualities, the transcendental name, form, quality, pastimes, everything related to Krishna will be automatically revealed to us. Spurati eva, it will spontaneously, it will be revealed to us. So that is very, very important. Jivara lalase ye iti uti dhaya shishno dhara parayana Krishna nahi paya. One who is subservient to the tongue and who goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and the belly, cannot attain Krishna. So that's what here Mahaprabhu is saying, that we should be very regulated towards, you know, our rules and regulations. Because if we just go here and there, move here and there for our own sense gratification, then it's not possible for us to attain Krishna. See, there is an ocean, right? And you have a boat. Let's forget about ocean. Okay, it's a simple river. You have a boat. Two boats are there. Now, if you ride on one boat, then there are chances that, you know, there are high chances that you'll be able to cross the river. But you have two boats and your 1 foot is on one boat and another foot is on one boat. You can imagine how far you can go. Maybe a few yards you will be able to cover. But after that, it's not possible to, you know, to have 1 foot on one boat and another foot on one boat, and then you cannot expect that you can reach to the destination. So similarly, in our Krishna conscious journey also, we have to make sure that both our feet are in Krishna consciousness. It's not that, you know, we are on one side, okay, spirituality, but at the same time, let our materialistic things should also go on. No, we have to spiritualize our materialistic things also. It's not that we have to totally condemn, which is not possible till the time we are in this material world. It's really not possible. So we have to spiritualize all our activities. That is very, very important. Those who are working, those who have 9-to-5 job, definitely they are exposing themselves to that materialistic world. And it's very hard after coming home to just do switch on and off button. It is very, very hard. You know, you have to really bring a shift in your consciousness once you are back home. So the point what I'm saying is that, yes, even if we are working, at least at our work also, we can be Krishna conscious. We can be Krishna conscious and try to spiritualize all our materialistic activities also. So we have to stay in one boat. Our focus, our aim, our determination should be on to one boat, that boat of Krishna consciousness. Because if we are on that one boat, then definitely there are high chances that we can cross over this huge ocean of material existence. Otherwise, it won't be possible. Moving on to the next verse. Aradina Raghunatha Swarupa Charane Apanara Kritya Lagi Kaila Nivedane. The next day, Raghunath Das inquired at the lotus feet of Swarup Damodar about his duty. Kei lagi chadi laghara na jani udesha ki mora kartavya prabhu kara upadesha. I do not know why I have given up my household life, he said. What is my duty? Ki mora kartavya? Ki mora kartavya? What is my duty? Kindly give me that instructions. So very beautiful point here also, that we have to understand that if our spiritual master has handed over us to some counselors or to some Shiksha gurus, then yesterday also Adigrata Prabhu was telling that at times our Diksha guru is not available. So at that time we should approach to our Shiksha gurus. So here also when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has handed over the hand of Raghunath Das Goswami to Swarup Damodar Goswami, now Raghunath Das Goswami thinking Swarup Damodar Goswami to his whole soul, now he's asking Swarup Damodar Goswami that please instruct me of my duty. I do not know why I have, you know, given up my household life. I have given up because to attain exclusive devotion and shelter onto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But now please instruct me, what is my duty? Ki mora kartavya? What should I do to attain this aspiration of getting the exclusive shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What should I do? So he's saying, please give me some instructions. And then what happened? Text 230. Prabhura age katha matra na kahe Raghunatha Swarupa Govinda dwara kaya nijabata. So Raghunath Das Goswami is not going directly to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is literally following all the protocols of being a true Vaishnava. And he is saying, he is not going, and he never uttered a single word to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just informed Swarup Damodar. He just asking Swarup Damodar Goswami to please instruct me. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, knowing the heart of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, he told to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu what he said. Prabhura age Swarupa nivedela aradine Raghunatha nivedeya Prabhura charane. The next day, Swarup Damodar Goswami, knowing the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami, submitted his appeal, his desire to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, Raghunath Das has this thing to say add to your lotus feet. And what is that? Ki mora kartavya. Ki mora kartavya muni na jani udesha apani shri mukhe mora kara upadesha. He's saying, I do not know what's the goal of my life. I have renounced this household life and accepted this, I have given up this household life and accepted this renounced order of life. I don't know what my duty is. Therefore, please personally give me instructions from your transcendental mountain. Now, here we have to note that, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, knowing all the regulations and protocols of being a true Vaishnava, he approached Swarup Damodar Goswami directly. Right? He didn't approach to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, also being a true Vaishnava, know the heart of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, that ultimately he wants to hear the instructions from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on behalf of Raghunath Das Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami is pleading, you know, he put on that plead to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this is what Swarup, this is what Raghunath Das Goswami wants to ask from you, that he doesn't know what is his duty. So please personally instruct him from your lotus mouth, from your transcendental mouth.
Hasi Mahaprabhu Raghunathe Rakaila, Tomara Ubdeshtakari Swarupadila.
Smiling, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das, I have already appointed Swarup Damodar Goswami as your instructor. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told that, oh, I have already appointed Swarup Damodar Goswami, so you better go and ask him. What to ask him? Sadhya sadhana tattva shiksha inhara sthane amitata nahi jani inho yata jani. Mahaprabhu is taking a very, very humble position, and out of humility he's saying, you must learn about your duty and how to discharge it from Swarup Damodar Goswami. I do not know as much as he. Of course, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being the Supreme Lord, now he's just want to glorify his devotee, his Swarup Damodar Goswami. That's why he's saying, oh, I do not know. So I have made him your instructor. Now you ask him, what is your sadhya? What is your goal? You know, he's asking, ki kartavya mora? So Mahaprabhu is saying that your sadhya means your goal and your sadhana. Your sadhya and your sadhana. You know, we have our sadhya, that we have our goal. And how to achieve that goal is what is our sadhana. And what is the process, right? This is the prayojan. Sadhya is our prayojan. That is means what is our goal. And then sadhana is our abhideya. What are the process we should follow to achieve that goal? So Mahaprabhu is saying sadhya sadhana tattva. All these tattva about your goal, about your process, you know, I do not know anything. I have instructed, I have, you know, passed on your hand. I have handed over you to Swarup Damodar Goswami. So now please, it's his duty to discharge all the instructions onto you. So kindly ask him only. Do not ask us. Do not ask me. That's what Mahaprabhu is saying.
Tathapi amara agya shraddha yadi haya amara hi vakya dabe kariha nishchaya.
Oh, it's already 11:42. Okay, sorry. So he's saying, nevertheless, if you want to take instructions from me with faith and love, you may ascertain your duties from the following. So from here onwards, very, very instructive instructions are being given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially for those who are in the renounced order of life. From here, it may take a little longer, please excuse me for that, but you know, I really want to cover this subject matter because these are very, very beautiful instructions. So he's saying that if you want, Mahaprabhu is saying that if you really want to hear from me with faith and love, with Shraddha, well, this is very important. I will assign you some duties of a person who is in the renounced order of life. So first instruction, actually four instructions are given in this verse.
Gramya katha na shunibe. Gramya varta na kahibe, bhala na kahibe, ara bhala na paribe.
So there are four instructions in this verse. First is the gramya katha na shunibe, and then in the next is gramya varta na kahibe. So let's focus on first these two lines.
Gramya katha na shunibe, gramya varta na kahibe.
It is very, very important that, you know, how
we should not indulge ourselves in that Gramya Katha. Gramya Katha is a kind of village talk, which actually means that a person who is in the renounced order of life should not engage in any kind of prajalpa. This is the fundamental basic principle of renunciation. That we should, those who have accepted this renounced order of life should not engage in any kind of prajalpa, should not engage in any kind of fault finding or criticism. This is very important, or in any kind of politics, one should not engage. Now, this is, you know, he is giving these instructions to the renounced order of life. But as a grahastha, also we should try to focus on this to avoid any kind of prajalpa. This Gramya Katha, if we take it as a literal meaning, that is a village talk, sometimes, you know, because we are in that outer world, in that materialistic world, we have to go. So we have to keep ourselves updated to the different topics which are not related to Krishna consciousness. So to some extent, grahasthas have this leniency that, you know, they can have a touch base upon what is going on in this world, because they have to expose themselves to the outer world when they go out for their jobs. But the fundamental basic principle is that of this Gramya Katha, if we don't take it literally, is to avoid any kind of prajalpa, is to avoid any kind of fault finding, is to avoid any kind of criticism. Even at Grahastha, we can take care of this point. There is a very beautiful story of a Socrates, that when a person approached, you know, Socrates in Greece, actually there are, you know, some people, those who are very wisely and they are lauded for their wisdom. So a person, he goes to a Socrates and he wants to tell something about another person. So Socrates said that I'm definitely going to lend my ears, but you have to pass. There is a test that you have to pass, and that test is the triple filter test. Even that test we can also apply being in Grahastha ashram. If anybody comes and say anything about any other person, we should always ask about this. You know, these three things are very, very important if we lend our ears to them. Whether you are talking about the another person, is it true or is it false? So that's the question that Socrates asked, and that person said, oh, I actually don't know whether it is true or false. I just heard, so I just want to speak it to you. Then Socrates said, if you are not even aware, whatever you are speaking, whether it is true or false, then better shut your mouth. I'm not going to hear. Anyway, this is the first test. Let's go to the next test. The next filter, he said, whatever you are going to tell me about that person, is it something good about that person or something bad about that person? So the person said, maybe it's not good. Then Socrates says that the second filter test has also failed, because I'm not going to hear something bad about another person. When I personally don't have any grudges towards that person, then why should I hear something bad about that person? The third thing that, you know, Socrates asked, that okay, you have failed two tests, but let's see the third test. If you pass, then definitely I'm going to hear. So he said that whatever you are going to tell me about that person, is any way it is useful to me or not? Then he said, maybe not for you. Then Socrates said, then why should I waste my time in hearing? If it is nothing related to me, if it's not going to give any kind of good use to me, why should I hear? So this is the triple filter test we grahasthas, we being the devotees and exposing ourselves every day to the community of devotees, to the temple, we should also try to focus on these three tests. That if somebody wants to tell us about somebody, then we should ask whether you are, whatever you are telling, is it true or it is false? It is good or it is bad? Or it is useful or it is useless for me? So we should lend our ears only to hear good about others. Now here there is a discrimination. There is a disclaimer, sorry. One thing is that sometimes some devotees, they do have something to share about some other devotee. That may not be good, but definitely it is true. It's not false. They have not overheard by someone, but they have their direct experience, right? So that may not be good, but still they want to share. So that sharing with any confidential people, those who will not pass on as a prajalpa to the whole community, sharing in confidentiality to another person, seeking their guidance, motive is to seek their guidance, not to talk ill about that person. That's not the motive. The motive is to seek the guidance so that they can move forward, right? In that case, even if you have to tell something bad, what you personally have experienced to another person, that is okay, because your intention is not to find out any fault in that person, but your intention is to seek guidance so that how they can move forward, because they have some bitter experience with some devotee. So that point you have to understand. But otherwise, what here Mahaprabhu is saying is to avoid any kind of prajalpa, to avoid any kind of gossip which is related to criticizing others, which is related to fault finding others, or which is related to any kind of politics. Even, you know, Prabhupada also used to say that any kind of materialistic subject matter, if we are so much interested into it, then we have the mentality of a crow. We take the place where all these gossip is going on as a place of pilgrimage. That's the mentality of a crow. If you see the good garbage, you'll see the maximum crows are there diving deep into it, because they are interested. They want to suck that juice of that garbage because they are interested in that garbage. Whereas the devotee, the mood of a devotee is that even if there is a whole lot of garbage, but if there is one flower, the honeybee will reject all that garbage and will go to that flower and suck the nectar from that flower. So that's the mood of a devotee. They reject all kind of prajalpa. They don't lend their ears to them, but they just focus on something good. So that's the mood of a devotee. So even Prabhupada, I just want to refer one verse. It's from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-23, where Brahma is giving these instructions to all the demigods, that how when he was trying to narrate the pastime of the four Kumaras, that how they went to Vaikuntha and they cursed Jaya and Vijaya and they came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So that's the content. It's in the third canto. But Brahma here says that what happened when one just hears something of the materialistic life, when one just brings some interest in hearing some kind of materialistic words. So here he says, Yanna vrajanti agabhido rachnavadacha shunvanti yena vishayaku kathamatigni yastu shutahata bhagene rabhiratasaras tamstan shipanti ashareshu tamashahanta. Brahma is saying that those who are interested in hearing the topics which is related to mundane subject matter, shravanti. So he's saying yanna vrajanti. That person cannot approach, cannot go to Vaikuntha. If that person is shravanti ye anya vishya, if he wants to hear the topic not related to the Supreme Lord, but is interested to hear the topics on some another mundane subject matter, which he's saying that is kukatha. That is literally kukatha. That is actually the bad words, because he's saying that katha is kukatha. That is not katha of Krishna. That is katha of some mundane topic. So definitely that katha is kukatha. So when one constantly hears these kukatha, then what happens? Mati gnihi. Then their intelligence is gnihi, is killed, is destroyed. Their intelligence is destroyed. And if they keep on hearing, then hata bhage nirbhir, then they are the most unfortunate human beings. Among the human mankind, they are the most unfortunate people because they are seeking interest in all those mundane topics, leaving aside Krishna katha. And they are atasaras. They also give away their essence of their human form of life. Our human form of life is not to engage in any kind of gossip. Our human form of life is engaged to hear more about Krishna katha. Tamstan shipanti. They are thrown into the darkest region of the ignorance. That's what their condition is. So this is what Brahma is saying, that we should always focus in hearing about Krishna katha. Otherwise, we will be categorized in the, you know, one of those crow who takes pleasure in all kind of garbage. But unfortunately, people in Kali Yuga, they have developed this taste on this mundane topics, and therefore they want to indulge themselves into all kind of fault finding. So this, you know, we should always try to avoid. I don't have time, so we'll not go into detail. So this is we'll leave that. Anyway, gramya katha na shunibe, gramya varta na kaibe. So these are the two instructions, that we should not sunibe, we should not even hear prajalpa, and kahibe. Kahibe means we should not indulge our tongue also into doing this gramya katha. So these two things should be avoided. Bhala na khaibe. Khaibe means to eat. We should, that person who is in the renounced order of life should not eat very palatable food. So this also, you know, we should try to understand that a person who has accepted this brahmachari life should not eat luxuriously. He should not aspire to eat something, because it's itself, just imagine if any brahmachari who is in a saffron cloth, and if you see that brahmachari sit standing in some street food or eating something outside, you know, that gives itself such a wrong preaching, such a horrible preaching it will be. People will say, oh, he's in this sannyasa robe, and see, he's eating all those samosas from that street food. So therefore, you know, brahmacharis should definitely avoid, and we have already discussed in detail that even as grahasthas, because to have the pure consciousness, we should also avoid eating outside, and we should accept only and only Krishna prasadam. Then this is the third instruction, bhala na khaibe. And the fourth instruction is bhala na paribe. That person should not even dress very nicely, not very opulently. Brahmachari, or a person who has accepted the renounced order of life, should not accept the dress, should not dress very opulently. You know, even as grahasthas, we should always take care that we should dress nicely, but in a very simple way, and in a very elegant way. So that is very, very important. These are the four instructions in this particular verse. The fifth instructions goes, which is very, very important, amani man manadahana. This is the only till this. Amani manadahana. That they should not expect any respect, but they should always offer respect to others. So this is very, very important, that we should not expect honor, rather we should always give respect to others. This is the real renunciation. It's not only for the brahmacharis or those who are in the renounced order of life, but this principle also applies to we grahasthas also, that we should not expect honor or prestige, rather we should try to give respect to others. Because If we take these instructions for somebody who is in the renounced order of life, then what this renunciation means? Renunciation not only limits to renounce sex life, to renounce wealth, to renounce any kind of opulence, but the real renunciation is to give away one's ego, one's ahankar. That should be given away. So this principle also applies even to grahasthas also, that we as grahasthas should also try to give respect to others and should not try to expect any respect from others.
In this regard, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur always says that this pratishtha, this fame, this expecting some kind of fame or praise from others is just like a desire for, just like this desire to expect any kind of fame is just like a, having a stool of a pig or a hog. So how abominable it is. Itself, this pig itself is so abominable because it feeds on that filthy place. On top of the stool of that hog can be so abominable. So this is, if we regard, if we expect some kind of pratishtha, some kind of fame, some kind of respect from others, that desire itself is just like a stool of a hog. So, you know, we should, Prabhupada always used to say that we should not demand respect, but we should command respect. Now, what is the meaning? When somebody demand respect, they expect other people should respect us. We respect that, oh, we expect this, that other people should respect me. You know, that expectation is there, that desire is there. But when with force, if we try someone to respect us, then we should understand that their respect will not be out of love. Their respect will be out of some kind of fear. Right? That's why even Krishna always gives us free will. Sometimes this question is asked, why Krishna is giving us free will? Krishna gives us free will because Krishna wants us to wholeheartedly surrender our free will and should try to love Krishna, not out of any kind of fear, not any kind of out of any kind of duty, but it's merely out of love that we should try to give respect to Krishna and should try to love Krishna wholeheartedly. That's why Krishna has given us free will. So therefore, if we are demanding any kind of respect from others, then it's just like we are forcing somebody that maybe out of some kind of duty, maybe out of some kind of fear, they should respect us. That is what is Prabhupada says, that we should never demand respect. Rather, we should command respect. What is command respect is that we should act in such a way, in such an exemplary way, in such an exemplary way in the service of, in the mood of that servitude, in the mood of that being of das anudas, that people out of their love, wholeheartedly, spontaneously, they should give respect to us. So we should act in such a way that people give respect. Therefore, Prabhupada says that one should never demand respect, rather one should try to command respect. Next is, this is amani manadahana, that we should always do not expect honor, but offer all respect to others. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 instructions in this. And this line says 2 instructions. Do not expect honor, but offer all respects to others. So we have 6 instructions so far. The 7th instructions, what Mahaprabhu says, Krishna nama sada laibe. So this instruction of saying Krishna's holy name can only be possible when all the rest of the principles are well aligned. When we are so much in simplicity, we eat something very Krishna prasadam, we don't indulge in any kind of prajalpa, neither hearing nor speaking, then definitely when all other principles are aligned, then in that mood where we do not expect respect, rather we give respect to others. In that mood, when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be continuous, consistent, and it will be pure. So that this 7th principle is that one should always chant in that mood, following all the above principles, in that mood, one should chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord. Right? And one should have a very strict sadhana. And we should always focus our rounds as a grahastha. We all, those who are initiated, they have taken vows of chanting 16 rounds, you know, in front of Guru, in front of deities, in front of Vaishnavas. So we should at least try to follow the vows that we have taken. You know, I have come across few devotees where they say that they have so much work that they are not able to complete their prescribed number of rounds, so they carry forward. There is no carrying forward. There is literally no carrying forward. We should not carry forward our sadhana. that's, you know, it's not allowed. Because if we have time to sleep, if we have time to do our daily natural activities, if we have time to eat, then we should have time even to do our sadhana. So it's very, very important that sadhana is actually the sustenance of one's life. So we should be very fixed in our sadhana. We should be very fixed in our vows that we have taken in front of Guru, Sadhu, and the Vaishnavas and the deities. So Krishna Katha and should go on, and the holy name should go on. So whatever is being told, is being instructed by our Guru, we should try to follow. Then Krishna Nam Sada Laibe, after that, the final instructions he gives is Vraje Radha Krishna Seva Manasa Karibe. Because he knows, Mahaprabhu knows that now Raghunath Das Goswami, you are in Jagannath Puri, definitely is non-different from Vrindavan Dham, but he says that in your mind, Manasa, this Manasa Seva, why somebody can ask that is Manasa Seva is bona fide? Yes, it is bona fide. Mahaprabhu himself is instructing to Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Vraje Radha Krishna Seva Manasa Karibe, that within your mind render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. It is very, very important. Even for the grahasthas, it is very, very important that we should practice this Manasa Seva. And it is very, very helpful also in, you know, in having little progress in our spiritual life. Now, these are the final instructions that were given. I will take just 5-10 minutes more and I'll wind up. আমি খাইলেন এশা স্বরূপে রাথানি ইরা পাইবা বিশেষা. Then Mahaprabhu said, I have briefly given you my instructions. Now you will get all details about them from Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Mahaprabhu is saying that now if you still want to hear detail about it, then Swarup Damodar Goswami will help you. And finally, you know, after ending this whole conversation, this whole conversation of the instructions that Mahaprabhu is giving to Raghunath Das Goswami, he's ending this whole instructions with a very, very beautiful verse by which if we wear that verse as a garland on our neck, then everything else will be fulfilled. And we all know this verse. Trinadapi sunichena taroravis eva sahi suna amanina manadena kirtanaya sadahari. That we have to be trina. In humility, we should be like a trina, like a blade of grass. When you step on the blade of grass, the grass doesn't say, oh, now I've been stepped up, let me be in that humble position. It again rises up. Right? So that's the mood of that humility. We should develop that humility. Now here, humility doesn't mean that if somebody can step on us and we still be humble. That's not that. Humility means just like be trina. Accept what comes in. Accept, because trina is accepting. If somebody steps on grass, what does grass doesn't retaliate, right? The grass accepts. So if somebody says something to us, then we should accept it. Okay, that's what humility is. But it doesn't end here. Once you step off the grass again rises up. So that's the mood we should develop. If something comes upon us, accept it, but then act on it, courage. With courage, one should act on it. You know, it's not that if somebody stepped on us, we go into kind of a depression stage. Oh, that person said to me this. Oh, now I'm no use and, you know, my life is waste. No, we should act upon it courageously then, taking guidance from Guru Sadhu Shastra. Then taror, then we have to be tolerant like a tree. Then amani namadindena, then we should not expect any personal honor. On the other hand, we should try to give all respect to others. We should not think that other person is a neophyte or is just initiated, I'm senior. No. The person who has taken initiation, who has officially been accepted in Prabhupada's movement is itself a very great devotee. So we should accept. It's not the matter of the time when person gets initiated. It's just the matter of sincerity that person is having. So irrespective of that person is junior, senior, child, or whosoever, we should always try to give respect to others. And only in that mood, then we should chant the holy name. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always chant the holy name.
Ete suni Raghunatha Vandila Charana Mahaprabhu Kailathandre Kripalingana.
Having heard this, Raghunatha's offered prayers at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Lord. Out of great mercy, he embraced him. Such a good fortune. Last verse of today.
Punha samarpila tanre swarupa sthane antaranga seva kare swarupa sane.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again instructed Raghunath Das Goswami to Swarup Damodar Goswami. Thus, Raghunath Das rendered very confidential service, antaranga seva, to with Swarup Damodar Goswami. And very beautifully, Prabhupada writes that antaranga service refers to service performed in one's spiritual body, in one's spiritual deha, and means siddha deha. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, formerly being Lalita Devi, and our Raghunath Das Goswami being Rathi Manjari, you know, he is one of the assistant of Lalita Devi. He now began to serve Radha and Krishna within his mind. So this is the antaranga seva that is very, very important. It is always performed in one's sadhana, in one's siddha deha, in one's spiritual body. So that is what, since they both know theirs, you know, their spiritual body, their siddha deha. So definitely they started, actually Raghunath Das Goswami started offering his eternal service to Swarup Damodar Goswami. So thank you all so much. We'll stop here. I know I took 10 minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes extra, but I just want to finish this whole thing. So let's see if we have any quick questions, any comments, any realizations. Thank you all so much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Shri Mahaprabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Vanda Mataji.
Wow, what a beautiful class, Mataji. So nectary in these pastimes and so much to learn from Raghunath Das Goswami. There are so many points to learn and also there were reminders. Although we hear those things so many times, it's always so good to know, hear those reminders again and again. How we should control our tongue and prajalpa. I really like that point where Raghunath Das Goswami, he did not he was not dependent on Govinda's prasada. It also gives me indirect realization, like indirectly I also realized that how we should not expect also from others. Because this is a drawback of Kali Yuga, right? We keep expecting from others, from parents, from closed ones, and instead we can just be dependent on Krishna. That's such a beautiful learning. I have two questions, Mataji. You said that they are all sannyasis and they wear the saffron. You also mentioned the importance of saffron color. But when we see Shad Goswamis, they are not in saffron color, right, Mataji? Like in the pictures and all, we all.
They are all in Babaji Vesh, which is also, you know, the renounced order of life. Because Goswami was wearing, he was just wearing a kopan, and that was also made from all the clothes that were discarded by the Purivasis, you know, they were discarding, you know, he used to take those clothes and he used to, that torn clothes, and he used to make that kopan and he used to wear around. So they are more renunciate than those so-called.
Okay, I did not know that. Thank you, Mataji. And Mataji, can you please share more about Manasi Seva?
So Manasa Seva, On a very gross sense, like if what my Guru Maharaj always says that, you know, we do all have deities at home, but sometimes, you know, we are out and we are not able to serve our deities. And if we are out for a day or maybe for out of a week, then he used to say that you should always try to do Manasa Seva. Sit at a nice place, nice corner, and there, you know, if you are not in front of your deities, just do Manasa Seva, offering your daily things like offering your bhoga and doing arati, or if you are changing the outfits, you know, everything you should do. That Manasa Seva is very important. This is onto the level where we are not in front of the deities, which is also one of the way to do the Manasa Seva. But regularly also, we should always try to do Manasa Seva while we are in the front of deities. You know, we should always try to do some kind of manasik seva to the lordships, either to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being one of the associate of the Sankirtan party, or maybe to Radha and Krishna in the mood of a gopi or in the mood of parental, you know, that we have to find out ourselves. And it's not that we are reaching on to some conclusion that, oh, I'm doing this manasa, so this is my siddha deha. No, that kind of contemplation should not be there. But in whatever way we can assist, be an assistant in the service. Now, if we are bathing our, like if we have a Gopal at home, those who have Gopal, if you are bathing your Gopal, so at that time, Manas Seva also you can do, that you are assisting Mother Yashoda in bathing Gopal. It's not that you being Mother Yashoda bathing Gopal, but you are assisting Mother Yashoda. And if you are in the Sakya Bhava, then, you know, it's not that if you are in Sakya Bhava, I'm sorry about that. But if you feel like to be one of the friend of Krishna, then you can always meditate to serve Madhu Mangal, to serve Sri Dham, to serve the eternal associates, that it's a eternal cowherd boys of Krishna. So some kind of Manasa Seva is very, very important, because this Manasa Seva is only going to lead us on to the level of Raganuga Bhakti. So Vaidhi Bhakti, which is just the rules and regulations, which is very, very important, but at the same time, following all those Vedic rules, following all that Vaidhi Bhakti, if we just do some kind of Raganuga Bhakti, that will also help us to elevate in our sadhana. So it is very, very important that actually, when I attended one of the retreat by His Holiness Sachinandan Swami, you know, that time he said that when you are chanting, he made us, forcefully he made us that, you know, meditate on your Isht, like the deities you like most, you meditate on them, you serve them, apply chandan onto their lotus feet, apply tulsi leaf onto their lotus feet, and then you meditate on their lotus feet. So he forcefully made us. But I asked this question that while chanting, can we do? So he said that, you know, it should not be forcefully done. Automatically, it should come up. So while chanting, definitely, since then, I have never, you know, came across where while chanting, you know, that spurati comes, that spontaneous remembrance come. But then he said that if not while chanting, then at least dedicate some few moments of your day, sit nicely in an isolated place, or maybe in your temple room, your home temple room, and meditate on doing some kind of service to Shri Radha and Krishna or to Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mentally try to do some service. So that way, you know, you can step on to at least make little progress onto that Raganuga. Hope that helps, Mataji. I'm not very confident in saying all this because I myself is not onto that level. But whatever I heard from His Holiness Sachinandan Swami during that Japa retreat, I just shared it with you.
Yes, Mataji, that is really helpful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Mataji, as you say, the manasik. So I was just wondering, because when, like, I'm personally not allowed in the temple and I don't have somebody else to do the aarti, I try to do it manasik. And I've often felt very difficult to, you know, it is a sort of an imagination. Like, you know, I'm holding the chamar, I'm holding the flowers. I find it so difficult. So what I do right now, because I don't want to go out of practice for those days that I'm not entering the temple, I sing the song that I otherwise sing, the bhajans that we do while doing. But manasik, in fact, I have done it even in my childhood without anybody telling me. And I used to think it's a concoction, but I like doing it. I felt sorry for my Gopal I had since childhood. But but I feel on an average, when I was young, it was easy for me. Now I find it very difficult after coming to Krishna consciousness, doing all the processes. Because that time it was maybe because it was my own doing things. And now because it is according to the process, like 7 times Agarbatti and all this, how do you show the lamp and things like that. I find it very, very difficult, more difficult than chanting with attention. So if you can share some,
yes, Mother,
it will be very helpful.
Sometimes it get break in between, but my Gurudevs used to say that's fine. Even if you have a break while doing that manasik seva, still you should go on. You should go on because that really helps. Because it's not that when we are doing arati and we are continuously in our meditation and we are offering, sometimes it's get break because some children comes and disturb you or some phone or some home bell rings, you know, anything can happen, anything. I just cannot contemplate on those scenarios. But if anything happens and if it breaks your manasik seva break, it's fine. Guru Maharaj used to say that you should start next because you should do it. Don't leave it. That's how it should be.
Oh, that's nice, Mother. That's an assurance. Thank you so much, Mother.
And as you said, yes, following all the Vedic rules, that is very, very important. Very, very important.
Sure, Mother. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्णा जी की चिदा स्मृति माता जी कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम सिला प्रभुपाद सिला गुरुदेव की जय माता जी यू एक्सप्लेन सो नाइसली अबाउट द छोटा हरिदास एंड देन रघुनाथ दास गोस्वामी एंड नॉट ओनली वरिंग saffron clothes, you become a brahmachari or sannyasi, but what is the rules? So nicely explained that after Chidadahi festival, Raghav Pandit home, without your blessing, Raghunath Das Goswami said that without your blessing of Shishi Nityananda, I cannot preach Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji's message. And then you explained about the Grahastha Ashram. This is the determination based principle. And regards him to again in home. So you explained so nicely, it is not only for a brahmachari and sannyas ashram, but grihastha also has to follow all that rules and regulation. One print determined, and then you explained about Shishi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu daily, Raghunath Das Goswami take a prasadam standing by Sinhdwara, and after 1 week, Raghunath Das Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, is it stand? Raghunath Das, he arranged that Raghunath Das Goswami get some prasadam, but after 1 week, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks that, is it Raghunath Das Goswami is taking prasadam? No. He is so sincere, so humble Vaishnava. He just go away from that place. And I hear that he is eating reminiscence of Shri Jagannath Prasadam. Those the Gaya is also not eating. He just clean that prasadam and eat. And you explained so nicely about the four principle that Kuti, Bahuda Leval, Parivahadacharya and Paramhansa. Some people get the prasadam, whatever we give, they accept it. That is the Kuti. And the second one is Bahuda Leval. That is Mataji explained that they stay out of the village and the village people will, whatever they give prasadam, they eat. And if the prasadam is not get, then they fasting. They totally depends upon Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. And the Paramhansa, you explain, these all stage are Paramhansa, but Srila Prabhupada, you given such a nice example of Paramhansa or Srila Prabhupada. And that people will get prasadam from door to door. And eat, and Paramahansa, you also explained that they cook prasadam for themselves, and we should not eat outside prasadam. If a brahmachari is standing outside and eating samosa or pani puri, is it look good? No, we have to eat strictly whatever we offer prasadam for Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, Sisi Jagannath. And our mood, yes, Mataji, I accept that when we are in some angry mood, that all the angerness is come in the prasadam and everybody mood is out. But we should make a prasadam with so much determination and so sincerely to offer Sri Srila Dukupal, Sri Sri Jagannath, that after eating these material people, we cannot change anybody's life. But after eating that Mahaprasad, remnants of Lord Krishna or Sri Sri Jagannath or Sri Srila Dukupal, the home people, our home become a Vaishnava. That is the potency of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani's prasadam. And explained about the Mahadevendra Puri one time that he is fasting and Lord Krishna will come in a Laddu Gopal form and give, I think Radharani, please forgive me, and give a prasad. Laddu Gopal come and give a matka of milk, and he said that nobody will hungry in my area. And so these all stage are totally, we should be totally depends upon Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Sometimes grahastha like me, working hard 7 days in a work, 7 days in a week, but our mood should be like Shav Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Radha Gopinath. We should constantly hear Krishna Katha, and it is really hard to work after 8:30 to 5 and traveling time, and then we have to. So Vishwabhanu Prabhuji from Atlanta Temple and Energy Shambhari Prabhu strictly informed that you have to complete your sadhana in the morning time only. Otherwise, Mataji, if two rounds is remain, it is totally totally Mataji material round. So we should try to complete our round in a, whether we are in a doing service or we are at home, 4:30 to 6:30 or maybe 7:30. And Prabhupada is a Paramhansa, you explained so nicely. And Vairagi should be depends upon Mahaprabhu following Govinda. And Mataji, renunciation, different kind of service of renunciation, Raghunath Das Goswami asked that time, Shishi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ji told to Shishi, I forgot Mataji, first service by our tongue. So we should control our tongue and we should speak only Krishna Katha and Krishna Katha and Krishna Katha, no Gramya Katha. And use Krishna's, and always eat Krishna Prasadam. And we should use only, we should always strictly eat Krishna Prasadam. Then grain also, grain carry the conscious. Sometimes we eat outside when we are not in Krishna conscious and we eat outside food. I have seen that we become ill because that mood, we don't know what mood they are cooking Prasadam. Eating Krishna Prasadam, Grahastha, we should not think, we should always offer the prasadam and then eat. To speak duty of person, chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We should chant our round attentively, so attentively. I have seen the difference that when we are doing the japa in the morning, completing 7:15, 5 to 7:15 or 7:30, Mataji, we can do our all day's material duties so nicely. We can attend our kids and Prabhuji so nicely and give a prasadam, cooking prasadam. All the moods is so good. It's like a sattvic bhav. And second principle, we should always speak about Krishna Katha and Krishna Katha. And spruti, spontaneously. We should be very regulation. You give an example of rivers, the two boats. If we keep in a, like after chanting also, we are, I have to go for shopping and for buying good dress and our mind is always going in material things, then it's not work. We have to stable, like you have given an example of two boats. If we are sitting in material and spiritual boats, then we cannot reach the goal of Vrindavan Dham. But we have to strictly follow principle of given by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, and chant attentively and hear Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha, and Krishna Katha. And you given us so much. And so, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that when Raghunath Das Goswami asking about the instruction, then Raghunath Das Goswami give that hand to Swarup Damodar Das. So this we learn lesson that we should be always follow, because we cannot meet our Guru Maharaj. So we should always follow the instruction of Shiksha Guru. And Swarup Damodar Goswami is no Swarup Damodar Goswami knows the Raghunath Das Goswami's heart so nicely, and he given an instruction to him. And this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar and Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. You learn from, I don't know about Mataji, you explained so nicely about the sadhya and kartavya. It is, this renunciation is not only for brahmachari and sannyasi, but this is for us, for grihastha also, with faith, love, shraddha and determination. And you given a 10 point, that one is a gramya katha sunte and a gramya katha karte, and only we should not, this is the very nice example that we should not enter in a prajalpa. Somebody is talking about other Vaishnava, so that we should carefully avoid from that matter. And for that you are given a Socrates example so nicely, Mataji. You explained that how should we be avoid from the prajalpa, and sometimes some devotees some devotees jab unki unka meaning kisi ko aparadh karna nahi hota hai, par unke man ki shanti ke liye jab wo batate hai, glorify karte other Vaishnava, not criticize. If criticize, then we should not hear. For glorify other Vaishnava, then we should be here. But here also, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada said, we should always away from the gossiping and prajalpa, any kind of material gossiping. We have sometimes some material friends are talking, oh, this is Cellcom and we can get the less price, this thing, this, that. That time also we should be very peacefully avoid that phone, and we should not enter in the gossiping. And then you explain good garbage and juice of garbage. You are given example of crow, that wo jahan bhi kachra hota hai wahan hi jate, but there is one flower, then that honeybee will go there. So we should be always very carefully hear Krishna Katha from our paramparas and Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, and you explain from Shishi Bhagavatam 3.15.23, and Brahma says, who are interested, Sravanam Vrajanti. And then Gramya Katha Kahina Boliye Suniye. The second one is not eating outside food. Third is dress very nicely. Fourth, dress nicely, very simple way. Fifth, Amanina Mana Deha Kitaniya Sadahari. Not interested in sex life. And then Pratishtha, Prem, desire, accept. Some kind of Pratishtha, stool of hung, and Krishna Giva, heartless. We should serve Lord Krishna and Srimati Radhani from heart. Sometimes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Last round, we will do no, not that way. From bottom of the heart, we have to serve Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. And Mansi Puja, yes, Mataji. From last 5 years, I am going. My daughter is studying in IT engineering in India, but somehow I am not able to enter in Shidam Vrindavan. But each and every year, my papa is taking us in Shidam Vrindavan. So I am missing Shidam Vrindavan. So by Mansi Puja, I just read, this is Samakunda, Radhakunda, Sisi Govardhan Dham, Sanatan Goswami Samadhi, and Janva Matajis. Like that, I am doing Mahansi Puja when there is some Vaishnava are doing virtual parikrama. So by that way, I enter in Shidam Vrindavan Dham. So preparing my mood that next year in Kartik Yatra, maybe I enter in Shidam Vrindavan Dham. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam to your Seva, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Jai Jai Nityananda, Jai Jai Gauranga, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Ki Jai.
Jai Vrinda Gopika Matiti. Awesome. Such beautifully you have connected all the dots and you have summarized the whole class. Really grateful to your service. And at the end of what you said, your tears made it so, you know, that how much you are feeling separation from Vrindavan. I really wish that even I could get those tears of separation from Vrindavan Dham, which I normally don't get. So, all glories to you, Mataji. All glories to your services. All glories to your association. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for your services and all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Radha Gopinath.
Anyone else?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for this again wonderful class, Mataji. It's so clear, Mataji. I don't have any questions, Mataji. And thanks to Vrinda Gopika, Mataji, again having a wonderful recap of the class. So, Mataji, I would like to request all the devotees on the call. So, if there are any questions for the Mataji, Mataji can take over. Or else, with all your permission and Mataji's permission, we can end today's session.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Many points, Mataji. And I really thank Vrinda Gopika, Mataji, who has given us again the second class. It was so nice, which was so beautiful. And the way she was narrating, you know, she was not even taking gap. It led the end. She was coughing because she's like so much into it. Wow, Mataji, Vrinda Gopika, Mataji, you always praise everybody. Today, I just wanted everybody to say very big Hari Bol to Mataji. Please, can everybody join with me saying Hari Bol to Vrinda Gopika Mataji? One
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Beautiful, Mataji. Literally, I was crying when you are telling it. So nice. Thank you so much, Keetida Mataji and Vrinda Gopika Mataji. This was such a beautiful class. Thank you so much. Today morning also, it was so nice. I think today is a blissful day for me. Today's class morning was excellent, Mataji. And now in the afternoon again. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, two 1 minute per small bhajan, if not tired.
Let's see if anyone else has anything in the meantime.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Beautiful class, Mataji. Definitely love the way it flowed and all the pointers that you brought in today's class. Everything makes sense, Mataji. It was a perfect class. And Vrinda Gopika, Mataji, I personally bow down to you also. Wonderful summary. And from Bhagavatam, I was just reminded of this verse when you were talking about Prajalpa from Canto 11. So the translation says, one should learn how to associate with devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the holy, chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. So this particular verse is saying that the devotees will say to another, oh, this is the way that I gave up my sense gratification for this particular incident. And the other devotee would then say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe even I can follow. Like that, they discuss Krishna Katha and they also discuss the ways as to how they can give up the sense gratification. And this increases the love for the other devotee. And it also helps us give up the sense objects that are unfavorable to serving Krishna. So I just thought of connecting what you spoke to what this verse has to say. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's 11th canto, which verse?
Mataji, 11th canto, 3rd chapter and 30th verse. 11.3.30. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is Radhika Kasturi, Mataji. I'm sorry, I don't know.
I remember your sweet voice.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dharmat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharajas, all glories to your wonderful, wonderful service, Mataji. So beautifully, like so many points were there which you mentioned, and yet they were strung like the beads into a hole and made a whole necklace out of it. Like so many, like one after another. Really, there are so many points in this verses. And there are many questions also I have about it. But then maybe next time I'll ask you in person about. because every point has a different point also which we experience in our sadhana, and then sometimes you yourself question your things, and then you get the answers in these classes, but again still that one point which has hit you with your experience just does not pass away. I'll again disturb you, Mataji, for it. Personally, I'll ask you, but overall, like really, like the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that age are how appropriate in this age is like wonderful, right? Like this is just the way, like as in one class somebody had said that Krishna consciousness is not a religion, it is a way of life. And it makes so sense that how each and every step if we apply in our life, because the one which you said about how we should not expect any the amanina manadena. So like that really is so, you know, at that time we feel that why this person is insulting me or why this person is trying to humiliate me. But then if we just leave it up to Krishna, and this is my experience which I really had it. And if we just leave it up to Krishna and then say that, okay, whatever is there, this person said me so and so thing. But at that time, I was into your service. So you look into it. That really helps, you know, like it does not matter whether one person is glorifying you and one person is humiliating you. As far as you just leave it everything to Krishna, it just does not matter at all at the end of the day. Or maybe at the end of the year or end of the month also, if you think about it, it really does not make any difference. At that point that it stings you, but the real knowledge is in letting it go at that very time. And in every word of your which you were explaining, I was just thinking about that, like how this should be applied. You know, this knowledge is there, but how to apply is the main trick. And each and every class just teaches you over and over the same thing. So thank you, Mataji. Like this is always like you have to go on bombarding with these things again and again. So it's never going to be enough. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your association. And yes, I'll be more than happy to discuss, you know, and talk more about Krishna offline. So you can call me anytime.
Hare Bol.
Okay, so let's quickly honor Vrinda Gopika Mataji's request and then we'll end up. Okay, we'll try to sing this bhajan. Hope everyone can see the screen. It's by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book Sharanagati. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori Svapashada Suyathama Saha Avatari Atyanta Durlabha Prema Kori Varidana Shikhaya Sharanangati Bhakatera Prana Dainya Atmani Vedana Goptritva Vivarana Avashya Rakshive Krishna Vishvasa Palana Bhaki Anukula Matra Karyera Svikara Bhakati Pratikula Bhava Varajanakara Shadanga Sharana Gati Hoi Bejahara Tahara Prarthna Sune Shinanda Kumara Rupa Sanatana Pade Dante Trina Kori Bhakati Vinoda Pade Duhu Pada Dhori Kandiya Kandiya Bole Amito Adhama Shikhae Sharanagati Koro ehi otama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive doya kori Shvapashada Sviyadhama saha avatari. Jai Hare Krishna.
Hi Bol.
Hi Bol. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mataji.
Krishna. Thank you so much.
So, Shama Supriya Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very very beautiful class and very beautiful song Mataji. Thank you.
I didn't do the proper justice to this song because my Guru Maharaj sings it so beautifully. So, but I tried.
That was nice, Mataji.
Yes, thank you so much, Mataji. It's so beautiful. And so, thank you so much, Mataji, once again for this very, very wonderful session, Mataji. So, Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kupa Sindho Bhyai Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrindaki Jai Nama Chara Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Har Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Before we leave, I just have one quick announcement to make that you all know that we are writing the Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit on Gita Jayanti Day. So right now, you know, if all of you who have not signed up, kindly please take a minute after this and take a minute and go to that site and, you know, just sign up for some verses, for reciting those verses. We'll wait for today, and from tomorrow, if nobody signs up and if there are some empty slots, I request all the coordinators to please take up the lead and sign up for yourself. Okay, so thank you so much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Ending the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.